90 movies from the 90s. Let's go ahead now. 90 movies from the 90s. Let's get it on now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Freaks of Nature podcast. First episode of the 90 best movies of the 90s. Today's episode, we take a look at Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And without further ado, we're going to jump right into it. Alrighty then. Good intro. Yeah, fellas, good intro.
Yeah, I like it. So,
I knew you were going to
fucking say that. 90 for the 90s. I would say this is not one of the best movies of the 1990s. This is not one of the top 90 movies of the 90s.
I have a regret of putting it on the list.
Fuck you guys. This movie is great.
This is how we're going to start, huh? Throw the professionalism out the window.
Fuck you guys. All right, so that's interesting that two of you think it sucks and I still like it. So I'll hear your arguments.
My regret of doing this episode first is that it will occupy the first and last slot of this list for right now. But I'll tell you going forward, it will be the bar for what, like, is this thing better or worse than this piece of shit? This will be 90 with a fucking bullet. There's not a worse movie on this list than this fucking horrific, unfunny, dreck, just bad movie. And I'll go into why.
That's fucked up.
All right, so how do we want to start this? This is our kind of workshopping as we go along. It's our first time doing an episode about a movie. And we had plans of being really professional with behind-the-scenes shit, but I'll tell you what, I couldn't deal with what was on the screen, let alone find more shit about what happened behind the screen.
Well, I have some behind-the-screen information because I did my job correctly. My notes are just crazy all over the place. I was going to talk about all kinds of stuff. The first thing I wanted to bring up was the Morgan Creek opening sound was nostalgic as fuck for me.
That took
me back. Well, at the beginning of the, like, before the movie starts, then you have the Morgan Creek opening. And I actually forgot about Morgan Creek and the movies that they produced and shit. And their little opening sequence, like, it made me feel nostalgic.
Oh, that.
So that was the first bullet point that I wanted to even talk about. From there, I just have, like, random information. For instance, so I have, did you know Jim Carrey was the third choice for the role? And then he rewrote the script himself.
Who was the first choice?
I honestly don't remember the other two.
What would the movie have been about without Jim Carrey? Because there is no movie here. It is Jim Carrey acting like a jackass for an hour and a half. The plot. There's not a single other memorable character in this movie. Nobody's acting. Everybody looks bored. And it's just him running around talking with his asshole. And why is this guy here?
No, you had fucking Marino deadpanning through his fucking lines.
You're underselling the rest of this movie, but
I'm not. I didn't laugh one time. Actually, there's nothing funny in this movie. The script is nothing.
Okay, so the first choice was Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
And he read the script, and obviously he's like, get this the fuck away from me.
It's like, you want me to hump the air? And play with my asshole on screen because that's supposed to be the funny. That's the joke. There's no jokes. There's no jokes in this movie. It's like, that's the joke. That's it. The whole fucking movie.
I have a bit of information for you if you're going to calm the fuck down.
No, this movie's terrible.
I really have a feeling that the second one's better.
No, I doubt it.
The second one is not better, dude. The first one is good. The second one is
no.
Which movie did you watch? Because you're talking like I agree on the second one, but you didn't like Are you telling me you didn't like the really fucking intricate fucking parody that this movie was?
No, not at all. I didn't like a single thing about this movie.
You didn't appreciate that it was a parody of The Crying Game?
No, I didn't appreciate any of it.
Okay. I think that's cool.
I appreciate the Holocaust more than I appreciate this movie.
So the asshole talking I want to bring
cut
up
that out.
It happens in one scene. It happens in one scene. All right. It's not the sequel where he does it for 45 minutes. It happens in one scene.
It happens at the end of the movie too, if I remember correctly.
It is a callback to something that Jim Carrey did to Keenan Ivory Wayans once, because Keenan Ivory Wayans was being a douchebag to him about a sketch in Living Color. So he got so frustrated with him, he just bent down and started talking to him out of his ass to, like, make him angry. And Keenan Ivory Wayans got so mad that he stormed out of the room. So he added that to the movie as, like, a fuck you to Keenan Ivory Wayans and saying, like, look who's the star now.
Well, I'm a fan of Keenan Ivory Wayans, so I can't get behind this. Let me say this. When he goes into that police station, he walks over, like, they're just having, like, normal police stuff. He's talking to the guy about the case. He just bends over and he's talking with his ass for no reason. And the guy's barely reacting. The guy looks bored, as bored as I was watching this fucking clown show.
Like, you mean Tone Locke? You mean fucking the awesome Tone Locke?
Whoever the fuck it was, nobody was memorable at all in this movie. Courtney Cox was, as usual, very dry. She's been in a lot of good movies, but she's never good in any movie, and this is no exception, except the fact this isn't a good movie. It's the only difference. This movie is hideous.
Courtney Cox in this movie.
This movie is. Fuck it. I don't even want to get in the weeds of like I don't want to go through. I want to talk about what's the problem with this movie. And I'll go straight to it, and you're probably going to disagree, but I think in 2020, this movie is fucking disgustingly transphobic and unnecessary.
It's not transphobic.
Dude, okay, so when he finds out that the police chick is a guy, they spend 5 minutes of him dumping Clorox and shit down his throat, fucking cleaning his mouth.
It's a parody of The Crying Game.
The Crying Game is also transphobic. But less so than this. And let me go to the end here.
They were making fun of something that was transphobic.
No, they were literally making fun of the fact that this woman was a man. That was the joke. That was the crux of the movie. The entire plot of the movie, the payoff of the plot is this woman has a dick and it's disgusting. Look at Dan Marino. Look at all these SWAT members throw up and everybody's gagging because they find out it's actually a man.
That is the punchline of the whole fucking movie.
What's the fucking joke? The rest of this movie, and on top of that, this movie is one of those movies where, no, this, why is this hat funny? No, it's, this hat is funny. Why? Because it is. Because this idiot is running around here doing stupid shit, especially in the mental hospital scene, acting like he's retarded, and running around making fucking retarded noises. And then that's the joke.
That's
guess what? You know what I don't think's funny? A 5-year-old running around doing that, let alone an adult fucking man.
I will say I'm gonna say that the opening sequence is still very good.
I had some cool notes about the opening sequence, but we just got real fucking angry and started screaming about.
So yeah, the opening sequence of where he's supposed to pretending to deliver a package to an audience of nobody, he's kicking around like a jackass for not even a real package. What's the point?
He gets in that car and pulls out the thing with the fucking dog food in the ashtray, that little bowl. That's fucking
yeah. There's
well, they showed he was a pet. He was a pet detective. What the fucking. Wow, what one gag in this whole movie that was semi-amusing, and I didn't even think so. Man, I hated this movie.
Okay, you need to calm down and let me talk now.
I'm mad. I'm mad about this.
Okay, well, you're going to let me talk?
Yeah.
This is my last note, so you're making me skip through everything. Critics suggest that Ace is transphobic. It's not. Einhorn doesn't identify as a female, rather uses a sex change to hide in plain sight. Ace is offended he was kissed by a man because he was. The grossed-out scenes were, in fact, a parody of the Oscar-winning Crying Game.
Okay, so the movie's not transphobic, it's homophobic. That's way better. Nice to think.
A little better.
Why?
Like, you're coming at me about transphobia, and it's not. He was fucking unsolicited. There was no solicitation for being kissed by a man.
It's homophobia.
He didn't want to be kissed by a fucking male football player. He didn't want to be kissed by Einhorn in general, but it happened because they wanted to make fun of the crying game, which essentially does the same thing. And that won an Oscar. When he's fucking suction cupping his face with the plunger, come on. Those gags work.
No.
They do.
To you, not to me.
Secondly, about the opening scene, you know what? You're fucking spouting off about an audience of none. I was like, hey, is this guy from Ernest Scared? Not Ernest Scared Stupid, but is this guy from Ernest Goes to Prison? I remember this guy from Ernest Goes to Prison. I guess maybe that says something about the opening. If I see the dude and I'm like, hey, I'm pretty sure he's in an Ernest movie.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I mean,
I'm kind of agreeing that the opening sequence was a bit silly and unrealistic. What I like about this movie is the realistic parts of it. The dumbassery I can get behind is a little dumb. The animals after the landlord leaves, kind of a dumb escape from the realistic movie. My next line.
Did you notice the landlord was that dude from Breaking Bad in the wheelchair?
Yes, I did. He's
okay.
And then after that, I have the jazzy soundtrack is awesome, and I miss when movies did that. It had a really cool 90s fucking caper jazzy soundtrack.
Okay, I'll give you, they got Florida in the 90s done very well. I was nostalgic because we used to go to Florida in the 90s a lot, and it just reminded me of like 1994 in fucking Florida when I was a kid. Like, I got that out of it.
Cannibal corpse scene on the way to Frank is an underrated laugh, I thought. Also, Jim Carrey's the reason Cannibal Corpse was even in the movie. He requested that they be in it, and they first said no. And then they rearranged shooting so that they could do the scene without interrupting their tour.
I'm not a big fan of Cannibal Corpse.
I enjoyed it.
So I want to put into something perspective here about this movie. This isn't a criticism. Well, I don't know. So it took place in 94, and the Super Bowl they were talking about was 84, right?
Yeah.
But they made up the whole Super Bowl. Like, that didn't happen. None of that shit happened in that Super Bowl.
Well, actually, the footage of that missed kick is real.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the Super Bowl that was the Dolphins versus, what was it, the Chiefs in the movie or whatever the fuck it was? I don't remember. But it wasn't, I looked it up, it wasn't real. So I think it's like if right now we did a movie about the 2010 Super Bowl and made up the teams and stuff. It's like, what's just a little odd.
What would be wrong about that?
I just found it odd, is all. Not bad or anything. I was like, man, they don't really do stuff like this anymore. Like, they would have.
Well, the NFL doesn't allow teams to be used ever since Goodell. Like, when Goodell took over, he doesn't allow the teams to be used in motion pictures and shit, but they used to all the time.
Yeah. I just thought it was weird that they're like, yeah, you guys can make up Super Bowl results from 10 years ago. Fuck it. This is something I noticed.
Well, I don't think they could use a real Super Bowl with that same incident and have the kicker turn into a fucking woman and, you know, try to murder whoever the quarterback was. I don't think the kicker.
Dan Marino, really? You see, you're like, oh no, Dan, you started off with those fucking football player guys really memorable, and you can't remember his fucking name.
No, I didn't say he was memorable. I said he was just reading lines. It was very fucking terrible.
Okay, so do you remember the Exorcise the Demons line? Because that's my favorite part of the whole movie.
What was the scene?
Okay, so it's right after Predactor is dead, and they're up there doing the investigation, and she's trying to cover it up as a suicide, and he goes out, and he's like, opens the sliding door and closes it, while like screaming to prove that the detectives were wrong. Like, yeah. At the heart of this movie is a, in my opinion, good detective story. That's what I always like about it. That's my favorite scene in the whole movie. That whole sequence is good. And as far as the laugh goes, when he's like shoving it in their faces that they're wrong assholes, and he's like, I have exorcised the demon.
Yeah,
I enjoy that scene.
Yeah. And everybody's just standing there looking at him, not reacting.
Exactly. That's the point. The audience is like me,
not reacting because him doing a stupid voice and humping the air is not funny.
Yes. Now, it works because that's the reaction they're supposed to have. They're not supposed to be laughing at him. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with this asshole? That's how it's written.
When we go through other comedies on this list, it's none of them are like this.
I will disagree about some of the best movies that we will agree on. Like the clown is not there for laughs most of the time. The clown is there to be an annoying clown.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be a comedy, so being annoyed and irritated by this guy acting like a jackass. There's it's not even a bit. Like, there's no joke. It'd be like, if you look at, like, Tommy Boy, when he falls down that hill, I mean...
Oh, a fat guy falling down a hill.
Yeah, but his character's a fucking goof.
Every Chris Farley movie has it.
And he's a lovable goof guy. This guy is not lovable. He's not even doing any of this stuff for any reason. It's not to get into people's heads. Even in the scene where he's, like, having a tender, loving moment with Courtney Cox, where she's, like, falling for him. It's just none of it. Like, there's no actual heart to this character at all.
I disagree. When he's sitting down on the patio, getting into an argument with her because she says he's wrong, and then he says that she's like a fat cow and she gets up and leaves, he immediately feels bad and talks to the dog about it. You see the heart when he's talking to the fucking dog right then and there, that he's not just a fucking asshole clown of a fucking person. And that there is, like, humanity to him. There's some humanity in there. You just were too busy not looking for it because you were so mad about the other.
Because of one scene where you found this. That's, like, stretching.
It's not stretching.
Dude, that's stretching further than he was stretching his fucking asshole in the fucking police station. There's nothing.
Would you agree that if you remove Jim Carrey from this movie, it's actually a pretty... fucking entertaining and intricate detective fucking gumshoe movie?
No, not at all.
Really?
Nothing.
Not even when he goes to the parents' house and the mom is like crazy out of her fucking
head. That scene was fine.
When you go up into the bedroom and there's like all that shit on the wall.
Sure. But like the whole detective thing of him going and looking for the ring, and then eventually it's like, oh yeah, you didn't have all the people on the map here, or the picture. Here's this guy that wasn't on there. I'm like, okay, so this whole what we doing here?
The scene in the bedroom, a lot of the footage, the music that was playing, the atmosphere, it feels like Seven or something, you know? Could have been a totally different movie. Like, it drives home my point about it being a good, deep detective story.
It's not, because the whole mystery of the thing is that, like, this guy used to be a woman, and let's all throw up at, like, the fact that he has a cock tucked in his fucking underwear.
I believe it's Mr. Winky.
There's nothing here, man. This movie is dreadful.
I would not call it dreadful.
You legitimately laugh at this fucking thing still.
I don't really laugh at it, but I'm entertained by it.
Weird! You don't laugh at this comedy?
It's a fun movie to have in the background.
maybe that's why you like it, is because it's in the background and you weren't sit and forced to actually watch it until now. And then, this list is going to be about nostalgia. There's going to be things on this list that I know aren't good that I'm going to defend anyways because I'm nostalgic about it. I grew up with this movie, and even I couldn't be like, yeah, man, Ace Ventura. I was like, no, they should have stopped with this one. And they kept going, and they made another one that
Jim Carrey actually hates the sequel, and it's the reason why he hasn't done any other sequels until Dumb and Dumber.
But this movie was a huge financial success. It launched his career, and he went on to do way better things with way more depth and showed a side of him that wasn't here. I think this movie is a waste of Jim Carrey. Can you imagine if he would have just kept making Ace Ventura movies and how little that would have, like, mattered? how, what would we have missed out on if this thing was like the vehicle forever? You know, like, he's lucky he escaped from this fucking clown show.
But 94, that clown show was pretty fucking big for him with Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask.
Yeah, it launched him to do things that were way better and more entertaining. So I give this movie that. It launched his career. The Mask is way... The Mask takes this concept of, like, this guy acting like a fucking weird Looney Tunes character and makes it a part of the plot and has a whole other side of that movie. That movie is so much better than this.
I tried to put those movies on the list.
The Mask isn't on our list? The Mask is on our list.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I fought hard for all three of his 94 movies.
And I think this movie, like, I you recall me, like, not wanting this on the list to begin with, but I put it on.
Do you remember when I said, like, the best of the 94, like, his 94 movies?
Yeah, this ain't the best.
This is probably the worst of the three.
Yeah.
I certainly said that.
This movie, in my mind, like, even in, like, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, this movie's stupid. And then I watched it, and I'm like, it's way dumber than I remember. And it clouded my judgment of his other movies, even. It's that bad.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's that bad.
I just
bad.
Can't get into the transphobia, man, because that's, like, one that's, like, a... It literally rewrote the script to make fun of the fucking...
But they were throwing up...
...movie that won an Oscar.
They were throwing up at the fact that a woman had a cock, and you can't fucking say that they weren't. I don't care if it's a parody or not. It doesn't fly anymore, and it's not funny.
Well, I would argue that the surrounding characters were the ones who were assholes throughout the whole movie, and you weren't supposed to agree with that opinion either.
Then who are you supposed to like in this movie? Jim Carrey? Ace Ventura? Well, because
Jim Carrey actually still talks about it. He talked about that scene in an interview, and he said...
Courtney Cox, man.
He says, what did he say?
The point was to do the most over-the-top homophobic thing so that, like, just over-the-top so no one would actually believe it.
Right, but you're still making that the joke.
He said he knew it would offend people.
I'm not going to say I was offended. I was just like...
No, you seemed pretty offended when you're screaming at the top of your lungs.
I'm not. No, listen. I think it is offensive. Not like... You know what? It's in bad taste. It's in poor taste. And I like a lot of movies that are in poor taste. But this point particularly was in poor taste because it wasn't funny. That was the most offensive part of it all.
It didn't make you laugh, so the homophobia wasn't okay.
Right. In the Toxic Avenger, the guy's like, I'm a cornhole me a blind bitch. That's offensive, but it was the way it was delivered and what happened was funny. The hero of this movie is throwing up to the woman having a penis. We're like, there's, I don't know, man, whatever. Hey, if you didn't think it was offensive, that's fine. There's nothing redeeming about the joke, though. There really isn't. There's no way that you could turn that joke, put that joke out now, and it's like, hey, this is fucking kind of fucked up.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that, especially the end when they, like, reveal Einhorn is actually a man to everybody. But I stand by the parody of The Crying Game because that's the only thing that I ever remembered about The Crying Game. I watched The Crying Game. I don't even remember how young I was, but the one thing I remember was, like, him getting, like, fucking grossed out because this chick had a dick.
Yeah, he slaps her in the face when he finds out she has a cock. And Forrest Whitaker gets run over by a truck.
Slaps her in the face and then the fucking throws up and does all this shit that's over the top. So they immediately decided to make fun of it. I feel like that's pro. That's pro-trans, by the way, when you look at the joke.
Maybe that part, if you look at that joke, but they kept going with it.
Yeah, but that part was also, like, trying to lead up to, like, the balls being down there because Ace was actually right. The joke of it was him, you know, trying to reveal that it's a man and then, like, pulling the hair and the hair's there and then, like, harassing her by grabbing her tits and they're actually real tits, you know? Like, that was them being grossed out, I'll give you that, but that sequence leading to them being grossed out was trying to lead you to believe that he was wrong about Einhorn.
Yeah, so you're saying it's okay to grab a trans person's tits because they're not real tits, huh?
No, that's what that's what the joke was. That was the joke.
Oh boy.
He's like, look at this guy just fucking grabbing her tits, and then guess what? They're real. Those are real tits. You were wrong.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, if you go to Walmart right now, you can find an Ace Ventura. Oh, if you're allowed to, anyways. If it's still open, you can find an Ace Ventura toy right there in the toy section. So
you can have it grab tits, the toy, little action figure.
Yeah, so it has lasted, man. It's still out there.
Well, yeah,
Well, they had the cartoon too, so.
Well, but here's the thing, man. I think a lot of people, maybe me and Jim Carrey are wrong, and a lot of people actually do have fonder memories of the sequel because it didn't have any of that shit, and it was just all dumb shit played for laughs, and they weren't trying to mix it with a serious fucking mystery of a movie.
I can think of two great gags, like when he gets shot with the arrows and when he crawls out of that fucking thing's ass.
Oh, yeah, those are fucking spectacular. Like, when he crawls out of... but that's my only favorite. That's the only part of the movie I like.
Dude, that rhino part, that is legitimately funny.
When they think the rhino's giving birth, then fucking he comes out and he has one arm in his head.
I think that whole scene defines the series as the most memorable scene out of the whole thing.
Well, let's dissect that. That scene's funny because they think it's a real rhino and they see this guy coming out of it. And their reactions to him coming out of it is the joke.
Fully fucking naked.
Yeah. And it's like part of the, like, he's in there to do recon or whatever. So that's, there's a whole joke there. But yeah, like
the build up to the joke where he didn't need to have the foresight to realize it would be really hot in there.
Yeah.
See how over the top the sequel got compared to the first one, which is kind of grounded in reality.
Yeah, but they at least set up a joke in that movie. That joke is set up. This movie doesn't set up any jokes. It's just him doing stupid shit for an hour and a half.
You know, this shows the director. He directed Jim Carrey two other times, including Liar Liar. So I agree that the team went on to do better stuff together.
I think it's a shame that this is on the list and Liar Liar wasn't.
No? Yeah, I guess that's unfortunate. I would put Liar Liar as better.
I don't know how that happened.
Okay, so we're at, I don't know, probably 40-minute conversation about this. I don't think any of us are going to add anything different. So we follow on, I think that it was entertaining enough to be on the list, and you guys regret putting it on the list.
Yeah, and as of right now, it's at the top and the bottom of the list. So
that's interesting. So, all right, well, there we have it. Ace Ventura, not well received by two of the three hosts of this show. I do want to invite all criticisms and opinions from any listeners. I feel like that's something that we said from the beginning we were going to do. And we were kicking around doing a final episode of movies that we left off the list that maybe should have been on the list, right? So how about, since we're workshopping, how about we do that, right? But then instead of like doing that just to give movie props, we can maybe take some movies that we agree shouldn't be on the list and then go ahead just to make it the best list possible. But we'll have to wait until we complete it. And then we get into like that, here's 10 movies that we regret not putting on and where would they fit in? And then we can come up with the definitive list. How does that sound?
That sounds good. So you think maybe Braveheart should have been on here over... Ace Ventura?
Absolutely. Braveheart's one of the best movies ever made. You guys fought me fucking kicking and screaming about it.
I think I relied on you forgetting about it near the end of that episode to leverage it off here. But now I think I may be wrong to have let this get on there, not that. So we have the opportunity to make wrongs right going forward.
There we go. That sounds good. Honestly, that the conversation went about the way I expected it to, but not the way I hoped it would. I was really hoping that you were going to come in and be like, oh, it was dumb as shit, but it was dumb as shit in a fun way.
There's plenty of other movies I'm looking at on this list that are going to get that treatment. But not this.
Okay, any final statements?
Right now, it sits at, for me, is the worst movie on this list. So...
And for me right now, it is the best movie on the list.
It's the only.
Exactly. Hey, next week, we will argue about Ace Ventura throughout this entire fucking 90 episodes.
And okay, so before we go, let's lead into the next episode. I believe it was unanimously decided upon that the next episode we do will be Candyman.
Tony Todd, baby. All in time for the new one to come out, hopefully.
Yeah, well, maybe the video on demand. Because a lot of things are looking like they're going to do that. So I won't even have to go deal with people in public to watch it.
Didn't want to do that anyways. So
yeah, I really, honestly, as much as I am a movie guy, I really am not a theater guy anymore. Every time I go to a theater and watch something, I almost get into a fight because people are loud or drinking or on their phones.
Definitely on their phones all the time.
Yeah. So.
It's only gotten worse. I quit going to theaters.
Honestly, fuck the theater chain. I think this is the end of it. I'm pretty sure this pandemic killed the theater chain because people are going to dig this video on demand way better. This is where we were going anyway.
And I got to say this. I hate trailers nowadays because they spoil everything. So when you go to a movie, you're forced to watch basically the movies you want to see get spoiled. So at home, I don't see these trailers. I can avoid them, and I prefer that.
Yep. So, all right. Next episode, we're doing Candyman, and I look forward to that. And I don't know if nobody else has anything else to say. I'll sign everybody off. This was Freaks of Nature Podcast, 90 Best Movies of the 90s, Ace Ventura episode. Next week, Candyman. See you later.